I think, first of all, the fact that there's one standalone goal on women for women's empowerment and rights, and there's another goal which I find is also almost more important, which is on equality between and in countries, which is broader than just gender equality. It's all forms of equality. Where we stand for women is that this now has to actually be addressed in an integrated fashion. We have to look at the money, the finance, to make this happen, to make this agenda happen, and we need to look at the power politics behind the inequities that we experience.
And in terms of the actual accountability, you talked about a lack of critical mass from civil society that might be pushing for change.
I don't think there's a lack of critical mass. I think civil society has never been so strong in terms of how they were able to negotiate the outcome document on the 2030 agenda. But what I think the risk is that civil society in so many countries, north and south, is currently being hollowed out. Core funding has disappeared for NGOs, for critical academic institutions. And if that core funding of basic research, of basic monitoring activities, of basic civil society activities, if that core funding doesn't come back, it will be much more difficult for civil society to play the role it needs to play in keeping track of what's happening with the Sustainable Development Goals.
You mentioned that there might be a way of giving additional weight to the implementation of the SDGs by adding human rights conventions them.
On the one hand, yes, the SDGs or the 2030 agenda is ambitious. It calls itself transformative. But when you go into the detail, it's not very specific on what one would actually need to do, what kind of policies would be needed. And so what I think one needs to do is to place the 2030 agenda in the larger universe of United Nations conventions, the human rights conventions, going all the way back to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which actually says there's a right to education, there's a right to health, there's a right to social security, the right to well-being, which is not very policy specific either, but it's sort of a very rights way of looking at it. Then we have the proper conventions, the Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights from the 1960s, which most countries have ratified. Then we have the CEDAW and the CRC and the Convention on People with Disabilities and others. And then we have all the ILO conventions on labor standards, which many of them have also been ratified by countries. Some of them are quite specific. The one that I like best, really, in terms of its specificity on policies, is the International Declaration or Action Plan on Population and Development, the ICPD, from 1994. And that gives very specific, you know, on equal wages. And so I think one needs to look at not just what this particular 2030 text is saying, but what is the whole environment of, or the whole universe of progressive policies that are there, or progressive declarations with progressive policies that we could tap.
And do you think by tapping those policies that are already there and that background to the issue of SDGs and women's empowerment, given the pretty stagnant world economy at the moment, is that what it needs? Is that how we're going to get this momentum for the SDGs?
You know, I think these Panama Papers that were just published, I think they're giving new drive, because here are now very specific examples of companies and individuals taking money away from governments, which is supposed to be tax revenue, which could be used for implementing the Sustainable Development Goals, as it were. And so I think there is a possibility with these kinds of not pieces of knowledge, in a way, there is a possibility to become quite, you know, have strong negotiations on what needs to change and where one needs to go.